Good evening, everyone. Lord bless you all. Thank you for coming to join us in the house of God, be under the teaching of His Word. Thanks again, Colossian girls, for sharing. We get a double portion today, don't we? So, I was going to ask you, Helen, did they sing Paitas Inkline Chapia at Friedensplatz? No? When we were visiting there, they were excited about that song. I don't know how it goes, but it was a blessing. Yeah, we've been visiting there a couple times already. Seems like that place and the rehab is very near to my heart. And they work together, like Helen was mentioning there, that a lot of these children, they're there because their parents are in rehab. And it's definitely a blessed place to be. And most of all, that there's children of God there, Christians there to help these children. And yeah, many stories can be told from different kinds of situations that happen there. Yeah, so tonight I want to talk about Jesus being the bread of life. Appreciate your prayer, Brother John. That goes in hand with the message there. And also, Brother Pete, thank you for leading in that song, 332, Break Thou the Bread of Life. And that is my prayer here tonight, that Jesus can do that for us, and He will. That is no doubt. He will, if we allow Him to. So, I'm going to be reading out of John chapter 6. John chapter 6, verse 35. That's just one verse I want to read here, and then we'll go further into the chapter yet. John chapter 6, verse 35. And Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. This passage has been on my heart for weeks already, and just digging and I was able to get somewhere. It's amazing once you start digging how much more and more you can find. That's the beauty of God's Word. And that's what God put on my heart to speak here tonight, and may He add His blessing. So, Jesus is preaching to the Jews here, and these are the people that had been with Jesus when He fed the 5,000. Just in the beginning of the chapter there, we read about that Jesus fed the multitude there. And so with that said, let's start from verse 22 of chapter 6, going through 34. The day following, when the people which stood on the other side of the sea saw that there was none other boat there save the one whereinto his disciples were entered, and that Jesus went not with his disciples into the boat, but that his disciples were gone away alone. Howbeit there came other boats from Tiberias nigh unto the place where they did eat bread, after the Lord had given thanks. And when the people therefore saw that Jesus was not there, neither his disciples, they also took shipping and came to Capernaum, seeking for Jesus. And when they had found him on the other side of the sea, they said unto him, Rabbi, when camest thou hither? Verse 26, Jesus answered and said, Verily, verily, I say unto you, ye seek me not because ye saw the miracles, but because ye did eat of the loaves and were filled. Labor not for the meat which perisheth, but for the meat which endureth unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give unto you, for him hath God the Father sealed. Then said they unto him, What shall we do, that we might work the works of God? Jesus answered and said unto them, This is the work of God, that ye believe on him whom he hath sent. They said therefore unto him, What sign showest thou then, that we may see and believe thee? What dost thou work? I just want to stop there a little bit. It always seems like the Jews seek a sign, right? From past places in the Bible. And if you think about it, Jesus had just fed the 5,000, and these were the people that were among them. And here they are asking him, What sign showest thou then, that we may see and believe thee? What dost thou work? I personally find it very disrespectful for them to ask Jesus that, but they did. And then in verse 31, says there, Our fathers did eat manna in the desert, as it is written, He gave them bread from heaven to eat. Then Jesus said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, Moses gave you not that bread from heaven, but my Father giveth you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he which cometh down from heaven and giveth life unto the world. Then said they unto him, Lord, evermore give us this bread. So here Jesus is speaking to them here in a spiritual sense, but they're not getting it, because they were saying here that our fathers, in verse 31, did eat manna in the desert. As it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat. So they were just physically minded. They wanted the physical blessings. And but yet Jesus says here in verse 27, he says, Labor not for the meat which perisheth. Where do we find ourselves many times? Do we get stuck in a rut where we want to earn that extra dollar just to have some ease? I just think about that. That a lot of us, we have physical blessings because God is blessing us financially as well, through the jobs we might have and things like that. But so easily we can turn our minds to physical blessings as well. I just think here, you know, the Jews, they were being disrespectful here toward Jesus when he was trying to teach them spiritual truth here. But let's not forget how easily we can get turned aside and start leaning on physical blessings. I just know for myself, God is blessing us physically very well, and there is that temptation that you want to start leaning on. Oh, we have money, we can do this. We have money, we can do that. It's definitely, you have to try, or not just try, but be focused on the kingdom of God. It is ultimately his anyways, right? He's just allowing us to be good stewards over that. So by that, when they were saying here that our fathers did eat manna in the desert, I just wanted to look at that. So let's turn to Exodus chapter 16. And we're going to be looking at the whole chapter here. Exodus chapter 16. And they took their journey from Elim, and all the congregation of the children of Israel came unto the wilderness of Sin, which is between Elim and Sinai, on the 15th day of the second month after their departing out of the land of Egypt. And the whole congregation of the children of Israel murmured against Moses and Aaron in the wilderness. And the children of Israel said unto them, Would to God we had died by the hand of the Lord in the land of Egypt, when we sat by the flesh pots, and when we did eat bread to the full, for ye have brought us forth into the wilderness to kill this whole assembly with hunger. They were in their second month in the wilderness. And many things happened before that. There was miraculous things that happened before they even got out of Egypt. All the plagues I think about. So they had gone through a lot of things. And in this 15th day of the second month, they're murmuring already. So they would have rather chose at this point to stay in Egypt to eat, like it says here, in when they sat by the flesh pots and when they did eat bread to the full. So the reason why they're murmuring here is they're hungry. And that just led me to thinking about when I fast. What happens when we fast? You have to be disciplined. Would you agree? You have to be disciplined when you fast? I know I do. I get irritated. I have to work with irritation when I fast. For some reason, when you're hungry, and it's easier to get irritated. Somebody can just step on that part of whatever would irritate you pretty quickly. So I don't want to look too much upon the Jews here, but let's take heed here why they are murmuring. But God is a merciful God. Even in their murmurings, He still grants them food. So let's read verse 4 here. Then said the Lord unto Moses, Behold, I will rain bread from heaven for you, and the people shall go out and gather a certain rate every day, that I may prove them whether they will walk in my laws or no. The Lord did this here. He says He will rain bread from heaven, but it came with a condition. The condition was that He was going to prove them whether they would walk in the law or not. And what was the law? We will get into yet. In this portion here anyways. Verse 5, And it shall come to pass that on the sixth day they shall prepare that which they bring in, and it shall be twice as much as they gather daily. And Moses and Aaron said unto all the children of Israel, At even, then ye shall know that the Lord hath brought you out from the land of Egypt. And in the morning, then ye shall see the glory of the Lord, for that He heareth your murmurings against the Lord. And what are we that ye murmur against us? And Moses said, This shall be, when the Lord shall give you in the evening flesh to eat, and in the morning bread to the full, for the Lord heareth your murmurings, which ye murmur against Him. And what are we? Your murmurings are not against us, but against the Lord. They were blaming Aaron and Moses here. But Moses quickly says here, Your murmuring is not against us, it's against the Lord. And I had to think about us. How quickly are we to murmur in this generation when things don't go according to plan? Many things to learn here. First of all, physically, if you think about it, We don't have children, but I've been around nieces and nephews quite a bit. When they don't get what they want, a lot of times what happens? Not just with children, with big people yet too. So let's take heed here. Verse 9. And Moses spake unto Aaron, saying unto all the congregation of the children of Israel, come near before the Lord, for he hath heard your murmurings. And it came to pass, as Aaron spake unto the whole congregation of the children of Israel, that they looked toward the wilderness, and behold, the glory of the Lord appeared in the cloud. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, I have heard the murmurings of the children of Israel. Speak unto them, saying, at even ye shall eat flesh, and in the morning ye shall be filled with the bread, and ye shall know that I am the Lord your God. And it came to pass that at the evening quails came up and covered the camp, and in the morning the dew lay round about the host. And when the dew that lay was gone up, behold, upon the face of the wilderness there lay a small round thing as small as the hoar frost on the ground. And when the children of Israel saw it, they said one to another, it is manna, for they wist not what it was. And Moses said unto them, this is the bread which the Lord hath given you to eat. Anybody familiar with hoary frost? I brought some, I'm a very visual guy, so I just brought a couple of things here. First of all, I brought a picture of a quail. Anybody ever had some quail to eat? Does it taste like chicken? Yeah? Okay. Yeah, so this is quails they got in the evening. I just find that very fascinating how the Lord just provided for them in the desert. I had a response from a young one this morning. They would rather see the feathers off there because I asked them if they were like quail. I thought that was funny. And then I have a container. Can you all see how full it is? Right up to there. I didn't read it yet, but since we were talking about manna and quails here, every person got an omer full of, or they got an omer. Every person got an omer, and that equals up to 9.3 cups full. And if you ask me, that's a lot of food. Peter, what do you think? Yeah? Okay. Yeah, so that's a lot of food. So I believe the Lord fed them very well. Obviously, this was rice, but I can just picture the manna being even smaller than rice. And so, yeah, let's read on here then. This in verse 16. This is the thing which the Lord hath commanded. Gather of it every man according to his eating, an omer for every man according to the number of your persons. Take ye every man for them which are in his tents. And the children of Israel did so, and gathered some more, some less. And when they did meet it with an omer, he that gathereth much had nothing over, and he that gathered little had no lack. They gathered every man according to his eating. And Moses said, let no man leave of it till the morning. Notwithstanding, they hearkened not unto Moses. But some of them left of it until the morning, and it bred worms and stank, and Moses was wroth with them. So verse 20 here, is one of the laws that I find here in this chapter that God wanted to prove them with, whether they would walk in his law, because he had told him no more than an omer. And in verse 20 here, they didn't hearken unto it, so they gathered more. And something happened there, that it bred worms and that it stank the next morning. And then in verse 21, they gathered it every morning, every man according to his eating, and when the sun waxed hot, it melted. Isn't that interesting? It gives the example of hoar frost, but this manna also, it melted after a certain time every day. And it came to pass that on the sixth day they gathered twice as much bread, two omers for one man, and all the rulers of the congregation came and told Moses. And he said unto them, this is that which the Lord hath said, tomorrow is the rest of the holy Sabbath unto the Lord. Bake that which ye will bake today, and seethe that which ye will seethe. And that which remaineth over, lay up for you to be kept until the morning. And they laid it up till the morning, as Moses bade, and it did not stink, neither was there any worm therein. And Moses said, eat that today, for today is a Sabbath unto the Lord. Today ye shall not find it in the field. Get this. They actually listened to Moses here, and it actually did not stink. So here's good, solid information here that proves it, that what they were doing was right if they listened to what Moses had to say. I just see Moses here as a mediator. Like, as we're going to go into the New Testament, Jesus is the mediator, but I see Moses here. He's always got to be the mediator for the people here. And then going into verse 26 here, it says there, 6 days you shall gather it, but on the seventh day, which is the Sabbath, in it there shall be none. And it came to pass that there went out some of the people on the seventh day for to gather, and they found none. And then verse 28 says again here, and the Lord said unto Moses, how long refuse ye to keep my commandments and my laws? There we have it. They did not listen to Moses again, these people here. They went to go look for some manna on the seventh day, and they didn't find any. So those are the two main ones that I found while I was studying it here in Exodus 16. The Lord heard their murmurings, and he gave them what they wanted. He gave them what the food, but he says that I may prove them whether they walk in my laws or no, and they failed. But I can just look at myself here. I am preaching to myself here. It is so, so critical that we keep God's commandments and his laws. So, verse 29. See, for that the Lord hath given you the Sabbath, therefore he giveth you in on the sixth day the bread of 2 days. Abide ye every man in his place. Let no man go out of his place on the seventh day. So the people rested on the seventh day, and the house of Israel called the name thereof manna. And it was like coriander seed, white, and the taste of it was like wafer made with honey. Question, anybody know what a wafer is? Those skinny long sticks, those sweet ones. Yeah, so this was definitely sweet eating here. And Moses said, verse 32, this is the thing which the Lord commanded, fill an omer of it to keep for your generation, that ye may see the bread wherewith I have fed you in the wilderness when I brought you forth from the land of Egypt. And Moses said unto Aaron, Take a pot, and put an omer full of manna therein, and lay it up before the Lord to be kept for your generations. So the Lord wanted the future generations to be reminded of this. And when Moses said here to Aaron to take a pot and put an omer full of manna therein and lay it up before the Lord to be kept for the generation, where do you think they put that pot? The younger ones. Where do you think they put that pot of manna? Anybody, where do you think they put the pot of manna? In the Ark of the Covenant. Yes. This was a big deal to God. If you want to put a pot away and put it in the Ark of the Covenant, I say it's a big deal to God. And also, these Jews that Jesus was preaching to there, they were just focused on our fathers. You know, they got manna every day. And it is a blessing. God did provide for them for 40 years while they were in the wilderness. Just imagine eating manna for 40 years. Who's ready to start tomorrow? You know, it takes discipline. You know, it could be good for the first couple of days, but you know, we're very selective, right? We want steak the one day and beans the next, right? And but they just had the man on the quails there. So I guess many lessons to learn out of this here, to be content with what we have. Okay. Just going to read the last couple of verses, and then we're going to go back to John chapter 6. As the Lord commanded Moses, so Aaron laid it up before the testimony to be kept. And the children of Israel did eat manna for 40 years until they came to a land inhabited. They did eat manna until they came unto the borders of the land of Canaan. And then verse 36 just has an example there again, what now an omer is the tenth part of an ephod. I hope that calculation is right, because my wife says in her Bible it shows 15 cups, but my Bible shows 20.87 quarts, and I did it with a conversion calculator, and I came up with 9.3 cups. So that's a big difference, so not sure. But I also did Google it, but not saying that Google is solid on information a lot of times. In there, it agreed with my conversion calculator that it was just over 9 cups. Okay, let's go to John chapter 6 again. We're doing a lot of scripture reading here, but I felt that, well, the Word of God is our bread, right? So, well, first of all, Jesus, but we feed on His Word to grow. So, let's read from 35 through 59 here. So with that in mind, these Jews, they were very physically minded. They told Jesus that our fathers did eat manna in the desert, and so Jesus is continuing here. And what I really appreciate about it here, before we go on reading, that even in verse 33 there it starts already, and there's seven verses here in just John chapter 6. Jesus said that, I'll just read 33 here, it says, for the bread of God is he which came down from heaven. And this is the thing that they did not believe. We will read further on in the chapter that they were saying there that this is the son of Moses and Mary. How can he say that? And he repeats it in seven verses here that this is the bread of God which came down from heaven and giveth life unto the world. So with that in mind, let's start reading in verse 35 here. And Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. But I say unto you that ye also have seen me and believe not. Thinking about that, if you come to your own people and they believe you not, that could be very discouraging, could it not? But this is what Jesus is experiencing here. He came to the Jews, he's preaching to them here, and he says here that he came there, but they believed not. And in verse 37, all that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. For I came down from heaven, here we see it again, not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. And this is the Father's will which hath sent me, that of all which he hath given me, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again at the last day. And this is the will of him that sent me, that everyone which seeth the Son and believeth in him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day. And the Jews murmured, so here they're murmuring again, at him, because he said, I am the bread which came down from heaven. And they said, is not this Jesus the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How is it then that he saith, I came down from heaven? Jesus therefore answered and said unto them, murmur not amongst yourself. No man can come to me except the Father which has sent me draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day. This verse 44 here really touches me. I once was in Mexico. I was in a church there. I don't even know what when it was. I don't know if it was when we were married already or when I was in Mexico, but I was at a church there, and the pastor said to me after the service, while we just were talking there, and I had a concern for a friend of mine, and somehow we got talking, and then I said to him that, yeah, I hope that he will receive salvation soon. I sort of made it sound like that it was upon the person in which it is. I feel like I'm not saying it clearly here, but what I'm trying to say is God has to draw you first before you can come to him. But I made it sound like, you know, when he will, then he, like, once he will make up his mind, then he will receive salvation. And then that pastor said that to me. Did you know that nobody can come to God except he draw him? And that was new to me. And now just studying this here, this verse comes up here again. But I also want to speak a little bit, or expound on it a little bit more. We cannot just sit and wait and do nothing and expect, okay, well, I need God to draw nigh to me first. In Romans chapter 10, verse 17 says here, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So we need to receive, when we hear God's word or when somebody is witnessing to us, we need to receive that. So we can become a child of God when we heed his word, When we heed somebody witnessing to us when we're not Christians, we don't have to wait around and think, I hope God will draw an eye to me. That's how I'm actually going to become his child. So it was a blessed study just to know that as well, and that scripture teaches that, right? It says here, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So tonight, if you hear his voice, you feel a knock on your heart, God is drawing nigh to you. Tonight, if your heart is heavy because you're not where you should be, according to God's word, God is drawing you closer as well. But also, I want to be careful here too, because there's a verse that says for believers, draw nigh to God and he will draw nigh to you. So we need to do our part as well. So in verse 45, it is written in the prophets, and they shall be all taught of God, every man therefore that hath heard and hath learned of the Father cometh unto me. Not that any man hath seen the Father, save he which is of God, he hath seen the Father. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me hath everlasting life. I am the bread of life. Jesus is saying here, your fathers did eat manna in the wilderness and are dead. And what he's saying here, that the physical manna doesn't give you eternal life. But Jesus says here, I am the bread of life. Verse 50, this is the bread which came down from heaven, that a man may eat thereof and not die. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, and he shall live forever. And the bread that I will give is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. The Jews therefore strove among themselves, saying, how can this man give us the flesh to eat? Just going back to the repetitive that Jesus, or the repeated saying here that Jesus is saying that he came down from heaven. This is already the sixth time he has said that. And yet the Jews in verse 52 strove among themselves saying, how can this man give us his flesh to eat? Then Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, except ye eat the flesh of the Son of Man, and drink his blood, ye have no life in you. Whoso eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood hath eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. Just picturing here that they're not getting the spiritual teaching here, how bad does that sound that Jesus said, eat my flesh and drink my blood? Like, physically, that sounds pretty... it would catch my attention anyways. But obviously Jesus is giving a spiritual teaching here. Eating his flesh is feeding on him, being satisfied in the Lord. Because Jesus says in verse 48, I am the bread of life. And drinking his blood is accepting what he has done on the cross for us when he shed his blood for the sins of the world. Verse 55, my flesh is meat indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. He that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood dwelleth in me, and I in him. This is a blessed verse. Let's read it again. He that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood dwelleth in me, and I in him. This is as close as somebody can ever get to our hearts. If we accept what Christ has done on the cross for us, he lives within us. We have a spouse that Jesus, that God makes us one. That is a closeness. But nobody will ever get as close as Jesus himself when he becomes our life, when he lives within us. And then in verse 57, he says there, as the living Father has sent me, and I live by the Father, so he that eateth me, even he shall live by me. That close relationship, that bond that Jesus has with God, he wants that same bond with us as children of God. Jesus desires that same relationship that he has with God, with you, with me. What are we doing? Are we doing our part? Are we having that relationship with God that he wants with us? All this he taught in the synagogue of Capernaum. And here comes a tragedy. From 66, or 60 through 66 here. Many therefore of his disciples, when they had heard this, said, "This is an hard saying. Who can hear it?" When Jesus knew in himself that his disciples murmured at it, he said unto them, "Does this offend you? What, and if ye shall see the Son of Man ascend up where he was before? It is the Spirit that quickeneth, the flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. But there are some of you that believe not. For Jesus knew from the beginning who they were that believed not, and who should betray him. And he said, "Therefore said I unto you, that no man can come unto me except it were given unto him of my Father." From that time on, many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. That's a tragedy to me. Jesus is speaking loud and clear to us today. He is the bread of life. He has fullness. He has the fullness. Or we have the fullness in him. For those of you that have a good relationship with God, you could say, even when you're going through trials, he is still near. That is a fullness that God is speaking to us today. It doesn't matter what we go through in life, but as a child of God, we know that his word does not change, and when he tells us that he will be our bread of life, when we accept what he has done on the cross, he will fulfill that. It is us that will not stay true to it if we reject it. But God will never, he will always, his word does not change. But it's a tragedy to me here, for it says here that many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. I even think about these days. I know quite a few people because of my line of work, and all of a sudden I see a young man that's on fire for the Lord, and he just wants to talk Jesus. And you probably all have witnessed that yourselves when you see a new convert that's just, they are flourishing. But then here's this tragedy here too, that some years down the road, you haven't seen them in a while, and yeah, they are not flourishing like they were. So let's take heed. Then Jesus asks his disciples here, will ye also go away? These are the 12 that have been with him ever since he chose, or when they were chosen. They've seen all the miracles. They've went through many, many things with Jesus. And as you all know, Peter's a lot of times one of the first ones to speak up or to react or do things. And here Peter says, he says and answers unto the Lord, or in verse 68, Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. And we believe and are sure thou art that Christ, the Son of the living God. I'm sure that was near to Jesus, what Peter answered him there. My prayer is that that is our answer to God. And if we are in a state of life where we feel like we're just drawing back, I would encourage you, let's pray to God to renew our strength, to renew our passion for him. That has been my prayer this week. So, just giving a little illustrations here between the Old Testament and the New Testament. In the Old Testament, that manna was the physical food. In the New Testament, that manna is Jesus. I appreciate what Brother Henry shared this morning yet too. He was asking the question, I don't know if I can repeat it exactly, but he was asking, if you reject the manna of the New Testament, that has an eternal choice. If God is knocking, if you reject it, the next time it will be even harder to respond. But that Jesus that is knocking, if you reject him, the end result is eternal destruction. Nobody wants to hear of that. But when you do reject it, you are literally choosing eternal destruction if you are rejecting Christ. So, in conclusion, I just want to encourage us that when God works in our lives, it can come through a different brother, it can come through a stranger. When I say a stranger, it could be a Christian that we don't really know. If God is speaking to us through them, let's not get offended. Let's take heed and obey when God is working in our lives through different people and through his word as well. I know nowadays there can be a lot of proof texting to prove a point, and that does not turn out well. Let's just take God's word for what it is in this spiritual teaching that Jesus had here that the Jews were not understanding. They didn't want to understand because God's word says that his word will never come back void. So they were deliberately rejecting. They just wanted that physical blessing to have some food, to be full. And but Jesus wants this pure relationship with us, and he will do everything he promises in his word to fulfill us. But when we stray away, that's when we become discouraged and offended. So I hope that was a blessing, and I'm sure it can be. God will add the blessing. The Lord laid that upon my heart. And what caught my attention here too was that it was a hard saying. The flesh doesn't want hard sayings. But through God's help and his grace and mercy toward us, just like he answered the murmuring people in the Old Testament, he will help us in our life as we walk with him. And I just thank God how merciful he is with me. I come short so often, and yet the Lord is there to help us. Let's pray yet. Father God, I just come to you right now, and I just want to thank you for your living word that changes us. Only your word, and you can do that. I pray this message that you had here tonight, that it would work in our hearts, that we would not just be hearers only, but doers of your word. I know there's unconverted souls in here. I pray if they are feeling the drawing of you, that they would respond. Father, you say in your word that you came to save the whole world. There is nobody left out, but that choice we have to make to respond if you are drawing us. I pray for strength that they would respond, whoever you are drawing. And if there's anybody here tonight as well that is struggling, that feels like their walk with God is just not where it should be, Father, give them grace, give them strength, renew their strength, that we can be flourishing in the Lord. Especially as I think about this time that we're in too, it's a very stressful time, I must say. But Lord, I thank you that you are with us. May you continue to guide us and direct us, Lord, that through this time, this pandemic that we're in, help us to be a blessing. It's a great opportunity to witness to people as well. There's so many fearful people. And help us to share this bread of life to them or with them. Lord, you have the words of life. You can give eternal life, and I wouldn't have it any other way. So, Lord, I just thank you for this portion of Scripture. And as we go home tonight, I pray also that you would give us a good night rest. And, Lord, we love you, and help us to love you more as we grow in you. And I pray that in Jesus' name, amen.
Let's take our Christian hymnaries and turn to 308.